You're listening to the 72. We've had the fixtures out today. Of course, the Euros continue as well. And, well, a man that can cover all of these bases is the former Leeds and Sheffield Wednesday midfielder, David Prutton. How are you doing, David? All the way from Lille?
Also, all the way from the bustling metropolis that is Lille. I'm actually, where the stadium is, on the outskirts, so not quite bustling, but very pretty nonetheless.
Oh, lovely. And you've been there pretty much for the duration of the Euros?
I have, yeah, flitting in between Lille and Lens, covering the games there and the games here, and that's been good, really good fun. It's really interesting to see this type of operation close up. It's as big as you could possibly imagine it to be, and you see all the great and the good, especially they all came out of the England game and descended, and now they've all vanished. Now it's just the kind of local big hitters. So it's Ireland, Italy tonight. So yeah, it'll be their version of Sky Sports covering it, or whoever it is. So we get the great and the good of Italian football.
Excellent. And of course, you play a big part in the championship coverage over here, seeing as you're immersing yourself in all things Euro 2016. Have you had much of a chance to have a look at the fixtures today?
Well, I've seen it, but the big thing that jumps out is obviously the rebranding part, isn't it? Which it's quite a sexy way of looking at the Football League now, isn't it? It's come a long way since Nationwide League Division 1, hasn't it? So it is slightly different. But I think there's a lot of Italy fans. That's all I heard from my hotel room today. Stephen Horn, he's got right on my nerves. Yeah, there's some intriguing ones. So I thought the Villa Wednesday one is one that stands out, because obviously it's a club that's had so much negative publicity that when it comes to hitting the ground running with a new manager, then it's a tough opponent to come up against the runners up in the playoff final.
So some intriguing ones. Of course, Newcastle in there alongside Villa as well. So some real huge clubs and some great pedigree in the championship this year, even more so than last. It's getting better year on year.
It seems to be, and I think it seems to be whenever the championship's discussed, you need to drop in the cliches about it being unpredictable and all the rest of it. But it is, and the reason the cliches is because we get used all the time, because it has come to be something that we've not that anyone ever loved football below the Premier League any less. But there's a real kind of warmth towards it, and there's a real connection, I think, with the fans, which sometimes can't be said across the board in the Premier League. But for some, like I said, I mentioned Villa, not trying to make it Midland centric, this conversation, but for them it's the doom and gloom of relegation is tempered by the fact that there's a real chance for them to reconnect with their surrounding fan base and create something pretty special. I think if you look at Leeds and Wednesday, for example, Leeds are still that kind of disconnection with the hierarchy, which I think will be ongoing until something's just left to be itself, i.e. Gary Monk comes in and is allowed to manage the way we know he can manage. I think he's got a bit of a unfair roll of the dice with Swansea. I think if they'd have kept with him, then it'd have proven himself for a tricky period. And then on the flip side of it, you've got Carlos Carvajal, who came in as an unknown, but managed to kind of gain the trust of not just the board and the fans, but the players. And that came to fruition almost to glorious effect in the final.
For Sheffield Wednesday, you mentioned Carlos Carvajal there. He's been linked with a couple of jobs, Southampton, one of your old clubs, noticeably. How important is it that they do keep him there?
I think it's huge, because I think, as I said, the turnaround in what how he was kind of perceived and what he eventually became during the season was phenomenal, really, because I'm sure I wasn't alone, and there's quite a few people scratching heads when he first came in. You look at the run of clubs that he'd been at, the very short space of time that he'd spent at various clubs in his career, and you're kind of wondering about his longevity at somewhere like Wednesday, a big Yorkshire club. And he did very, very well, to the point where he'd come in, I think, and he was answering to a transfer committee or part of a transfer kind of committee that was bringing players in, to the point where he had total control over that, the total backing of a very wealthy benefactor, and the complete command of the players and respect to the players, which I think, if you are a manager, that's as boxes to tick, they're the three kind of golden ones. And I thought it did very, very well, and hence the fact he gets coveted by bigger clubs. Well, I say bigger clubs in higher divisions that want to have him on board.
You mentioned the owners there and the money they've invested and the job that Carvajal's done. Can he do it again? Can they go again? Do you think they'll maybe struggle early doors with the disappointment of last year?
I think that'll be a major hurdle that they need to jump over, that the emotion side of it. I also think that they'll probably come up against the fact that they're not an unknown quantity anymore. I think as last season progressed, they went from being maybe quietly confident to having to be outwardly confident because of how well they were playing and where they were in the league. So it's dealing with the expectation side of it now, because we've seen on occasions where obviously the best way to get beyond the playoff final defeat is go for automatic next time, but it's a lot easier said than done, because again the cliche comes out about what a tough season it is, the number of games, and it's having the right players, the right core of players, and I think it has with the likes of Tom Lees and Barry Bannon and Kieran Lee, people like that, who have really come to Wednesday and probably found another gear, actually another level, and pulled together really, really well. So yeah, it is, as any level of football is, as I've seen out here, it's managing expectations, it's about being able to perform as and when you're needed and getting the most out of yourself.
And some of those players you mentioned there are players that have real good talent for a lot of years, maybe not proved it, but did so last year. Was Wednesday likely to spend again with the amount of money they do have? But that core of the squad you mentioned there, Tom Lee's been linked with Burnley today, yeah, for one example. Can they keep hold of those guys that were the spine last year?
I think if you're talking from a purely, first and foremost, and it sounds like a cynical way of looking at it, then finances come into it. If you're wanted by a club, then you can exercise your right to be able to maximise your earning potential. If you love being at a club, that's something that you've got to take into account if you're appreciated at the club. You look at Tom Lees, he was appreciated at an early age at Leeds, and it seemed like there was a bit of an indifference when he left, which I think if you now look at the way he's played and how he's performed for Wednesday, I'm sure there's admiring glances being cast from Elland Road about the player that he's turned into, and he's felt probably more appreciated at Sheffield Wednesday. I mean, a lot of stuff does go into that, the way a manager treats a certain player privately and publicly, which can give off a perception to a fan of how to view a player. But I think he's done exactly right. But that lure of the Premier League is huge. It was a situation I found myself in when I was playing, and it's hard to turn down. I mean, the decision that you make at any one particular time is the right one. Hindsight normally smacks you at the backside and tells you whether it was good, bad or indifferent. But that's just the way of the world, isn't it? So it is about keeping the core of it. It is about keeping the manager. And it is about, I don't know, exceeding expectations again, because you talked about the big clubs that have dropped down. All those clubs will want to get out as soon as possible. If you look at Leeds and Wednesday, they're clubs that have been there too long, in all honesty, haven't they, for what they can achieve and who they've been and where they've been in English football. So that's their barometer that they've got to measure themselves against.
And keeping the core, keeping the manager, keeping the young players, it brings us nicely onto Leeds United, something that they've not done too well on. Gary Monk's gone in there now. Leeds kick off at QPR on the Sunday, the lunchtime kickoff. Gary Monk, someone that you've crossed paths with in your time at Southampton?
Yeah, no, I'd just come in and he was kind of on his way out. I think that was when he'd actually gone to go to Swansea, and as we all know, it's been well documented, wonderful there and a real vital part of the furniture, and a very successful part of the furniture, leading up to being the manager and managing them in the Premier League. So, and he goes to show that he's proven himself within that kind of level of manager. I did when Swansea played Hull City last season in the in the cup. I did the post match with him, and I've obviously known him since when he was a player, and you've probably seen this from your side of the fence. When a player becomes a manager, they sometimes get a bit serious, don't they? But he was very good, very in control of what I was saying, quick to point out any kind of areas for debate, very chatty, but kind of played the manager role very, very well. You know, cards close to his chest, just lets out what he wants to let out. And I was very, very impressed by the kind of maturity that he showed from someone that you just viewed as a teammate way back when. I think it's a fantastic opportunity for him. The thing that I'm only conscious of for him, or particularly mindful of, is I sincerely hope, not just because I've got a lot of time for him as a person, but as a manager, I sincerely hope he's going to have the time and the means to be able to do it as much of his way as he possibly can. Because I think if you're a Leeds fan, I think you're very happy with Gary Monk walking through the door. I don't think you're happy with perhaps as you work your way further up to the top, but that's just the nature of the beast at the moment, and it's their responsibility to get behind the manager and the players, I think.
And you kind of mentioned it there, but we spoke about Wednesday and obviously Carvajal and the back in the time he's getting there. If you think, you know, if Gary Monk does get the time, you know, start off, do you think he's going to get that? Do you reckon Mr. Chiellino might change his mind a bit, or can you see this being a couple of months down the line, Leeds are in a position of trying to find a new manager / head coach?
Well, I think if you're an optimist, then if you looked at Gary Monk and the way he goes about his job, then you would say, no, he's going to get time. If you're a pessimist, you'd look at the track record of the owner and the managers that have come and gone, and you'd be very, very mindful. I don't think, as has been the case, and as every head coach has taken over at Leeds in the past few years, that the main thing that came out of whether once have been in or once have come out is they couldn't turn Leeds United down. And I don't know how you possibly can, because it's a name and a club that's bigger than anybody that will ever own it, and that's how it should always be. But there's a balance that needs to be addressed, and I'm sure the fans are sick to the back teeth of it being shown up as an example of how not to hire and fire managers. We all know that it's a ruthless business. We all know that it's cutthroat. We all know that a flavour of the month can turn into, you know what I mean, complete useless if you lose five games on the bounce. But you do need some perspective. You need some perspective on a season. You need some longer-term vision for what a club can achieve. And I think additions in personnel, keeping hold of the younger players that I'd like to think are energised by someone, a young manager coming in like Gary Monk, and him being able to maximise the potential of those younger players.
And obviously it's Leeds as a club you know quite well, played for a few years there. Just, we've spoke about it, I know it's quite difficult to say, but where can you see Leeds going at the moment as a club and as a team? Because obviously high turnover of managers, they seem to be a club that are dropping down places every time at the end of every season. Just obviously from an outside perspective now, just where can you see Leeds going?
Well, first and foremost, the aim of what it feels like the aims of the last few seasons of let's stay in the Championship first and foremost, anything other than that, the bonus has got to completely change. I don't think having a manager who has Premier League, very recent Premier League experience, coming to the club smacks of a club that just wants to tread. It's the loudest horn I've heard all day. just tread water. I think there's some performances last season that were way below anything that you'd associate with a club being anywhere near challenging for promotion. The one that's instantly springs to mind is the Brighton game, which was just a disaster from start to finish. The lack of leadership, not just on the pitch, but off the pitch and higher above, which seemed to show Leeds in its very worst light. But the flip side of it is the kind of energy and the kind of glory of the youth that is there and is available to be used and should be added to. I still think they need that prolific striker that can come in and get them a decent amount of goals. If we're continuing the Wednesday comparison, the fact that they could bring in someone like Gary Hill or someone like Fernando Forestieri is huge in that. I think if you look at the way the playoffs went and the playoff final went, their main star man didn't perform to his best on the day. I mean, he's only human, but without him, without Forestieri on all cylinders, they struggled. And that's the difference that type of player can make. He can make, not necessarily make or break a season, but he can get you to a position where the season can be a glorious success. So I think that's where they need to address it. Again, I think it helps when you have got someone like Monk in charge of the team to be able to attract players. Whether that kind of filters down to actually money being available to buy a certain player, or whether he's got to deal with players that are presenting to him, is something that we probably won't find out either as fans, media, or anything other than if you're the manager and the actual owner.
And, you know, mentioned Wednesday there, if Gary Monk's given the time, you know, given a bit of backing to improve the playing squad, do you think that Leeds could be challenging Sheffield Wednesday up in the playoff places this season?
I think so, yeah. I don't see any reason why not. I think Newcastle are going to be quite a tough team to try and play against purely because of the field effect with Benitez staying. You talked about Leeds' first game against QPR, a team that perhaps flattered to deceive last season, didn't do anywhere near as well as not just the manager, but the hierarchy would have liked. So, over the course of it, if you'd have sat here last season and said that Wednesday would be in the playoff final, you'd have thought, well, that could happen, but you'd have thought probably not. So, it just goes to show that with committed leadership and a kind of a united front, which is what they showed, and it's what Leeds haven't shown over the course of over several seasons, it can happen. So I think it needs fundamental changes. Whether that means the man at the top is prepared to do that and prepared to accommodate what could possibly be a very, very great season remains to be seen.
And if Leeds need all that, what about one of your other former clubs, Nottingham Forest? That seems an absolute shambles what's going on there. Still no manager into June.
Is it? And then I'd read about that a director of football was going to come in before a coach or a manager. It's hard not to talk about these clubs because these clubs that I was very, very fortunate to play from, but I obviously knew of them when I was a kid and watched them on TV, and you get a feel for them. And these aren't clubs that were known for fanning about, were they? They weren't clubs that were... they were clubs that treated people with respect, that treated managers with respect, that managers commanded respect, that came in through the doors. They weren't clubs that were just playthings that were, you know what I mean, we'll put him in there, we'll put this director of football in there, he's never met the manager, he'll just have to get on with it. But the more I do it, the more I've seen this side of it, and I'd be the real pleasure and the honour of speaking to managers behind the scene and off the record. It happens more than you think. It's not as straightforward as can you come in and manage the team and pick the players. It's very rarely that a manager nowadays will get that complete remit all to himself. There are people that he'll have to answer to. There are certain avenues that he'll have to go through or go down to be able to get what he wants. And sometimes they've got to go into a meeting with the powers that be with A, B and C as what they want to achieve, and realistically know that they're only going to get B. You know what I mean? Go with something for A, and if it comes off, then great. But if not, then I'll take B. I'm happy with a contingency plan. And it's a shame that it is like that, as you say. I mean, when you use the word shambles, it's quite a strong word. But from the outside looking in, again, lack of clear, perhaps vision, leadership. Does the owner still want to be there? Have they scratched the surface and realised what owning a football club in 2016 really means and really entails? Because it's such an intricate business, and sometimes made needlessly intricate, that when these owners come in, it's a lot different to what the mystique of it is, I think.
So it certainly needs to change there. We said at the start, you're in Lille, you're at the Euros, you've seen England play during the tournament. What do you make of Roy Hodgson's team and the way they played and finishing second in the group and now into a real tough part of the draw?
It is. I mean, the way the draw's panned out, I think from with the greatest respect, an underdog point of view, then there's one half of the draw which you could see one of these... so-called lesser teams make their way pretty much to the final. I think, I don't think, the way England played, I mean, the Wales game was a fantastic game because of the emotions and the way in it and the way it ended. Sometimes when a game ends like that, it can mask the actual performance of what was going on. I thought first half we weren't particularly good, second half we were a lot better. And I'd say, in all honesty, probably deserved to win, but when Wales come up and turn over Russia when England can only draw with them, then you've got to hold your hands and say, well, they obviously deserved it. It again casts a bit of a shadow over England's progression and what they expect. And then it seems a lot of what an England manager has to be able to do now is deal with the media. I saw Terry Burton, he used to be an assistant at Sheffield Wednesday. He was in the same hotel this morning, and he's doing a bit of scouting for Roy Hodgson, looking at the opposition, and he just kind of alluded to the fact that is a major part of Roy's day, is taking up with, you know what I mean, press conferences and answering the questions that are thrown at you. Are we doing this? Are we doing that right? And it seems to me that the 90 minutes that the game's been played is a bit where he can almost indulge himself and enjoy and watch the games, because he's as much of an England fan as anyone else is. But it's a tough way of getting into the draw. But again, I mean, you look at a Spain team that went into playing last night and presumed that they'd win but come out losing and end up in that side of the draw as well. So it's not going to be plain sailing. I just think, as ever with England, we build them up and we expect a hell of a lot, and sometimes, human nature being what it is, sometimes it's unrealistic.
You're doing the Republic of Ireland game tonight. A win for them gets them through, only a win. Do you think they can do it against a changed Italy team?
Well, from what I've seen and what we're kind of hearing on the grapevine here, it's going to be a very, very changed Italy team. So it'll test the quality of what Ireland deems to be their first team against perhaps not a second string Italian. I mean, you can never call an Italian team second string, but it's quite obvious where the big hitters are and who they would rely on as a first team formation. But I think they can. I mean, they've shown it in fits and starts. Last game, they probably suffered from the fact that they didn't get enough of the right supply into someone like Shane Long. Spent a lot of his time chasing lost causes and not really playing to his strengths, because you saw him over the course of last season in the Premier League, that lightning pace that he's got and how good he is in defeat, you've got to maximise that. So it's tough. I think, in all honesty, when you've got Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane probably barking on from the sidelines, that's impetus enough to run around and try your best in it. So I'm sure they'll be going all out to get the win.
Obviously, England through Northern Ireland as well as Wales. Which of the home nations do you think is going to go the furthest?
Being a devout patriot, I would say England. I've been impressed with the first half. Wales played against England. I thought they're very good. They're very high pressure. They obviously rely on Gareth Bale, but when I've got a truly world class player on your team, that's what the rest of the players. That's what it's there for the players to ride. And they all do their jobs, and either this job with a bit of magic and gets them a win. So, and Northern Ireland, I think they've been quite stoic as a team together. I think getting into this next round is seen as a major. Another horn dither there. It's only because I'm sat here with my top off, that's probably what it is. I think getting into the next round is probably deemed as a success for them. But for England, it's once you've been there, once you've been at the top of the tree, albeit several generations ago, that's the benchmark that they'll always get compared against, realistically or not. So I think, and if England gets to the quarters, then that would be deemed some form of success, and then you'd probably see Roy Hodgson staying on. Anything less than that, and then it's when the serious questions start being asked again.
Just lastly, who wins it? Who's the best team you've seen?
Best team I've seen, I think Germany were very good in the first game without really getting out of second gear, although Spain shot themselves in the foot a bit last night, but I thought they were very, very good. I'd lean towards Spain, I think, purely for the purist in me, which obviously my standard of football whilst I was playing was nowhere near that. So
don't do yourself down. Thank you very much for joining us. Enjoy the game tonight and the rest of the Euros. How long are you staying out for?
I'm here till a week on Saturday. We've got one of the quarterfinals here, which we don't quite know who it is yet. And then there's another two games Saturday, Sunday, and then the following Friday. And then that's us done. And then all the can-can girls will go home. And I say that as they're walking past. It's part of the pre-match entertainment here. That there's all kinds of shenanigans go on. It starts about an hour before kickoff. It's not your usual. Here's a mascot from, I don't know, Yeadon, who's come to the game and loves Leeds, favourite player Norman Hunt, all that type of stuff. It's a little bit more elaborate than that. But yeah. Hey ho, each to their own.
Yeah, you're the can-can girls' favourite player. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. It's only to stop me talking something, that's what they're saying.
Enjoy the football. Don't enjoy the can-can girls too much, and we'll speak soon.
Absolutely, look forward to it. Good evening.